AW Masters, reel 5.
And after your that you would have free time, in fact, I think.
Yes,
you would be free.
Yes.
Right up to, what was bedtime?
Well, I think I don't remember about 8 o'clock.
Sure, yeah. So between, say, 5.30 or so.
About 5, yeah. Let's say 5, up past 5 to 8. Hmm. And the thing that they used to go, or used to not push, but encourage, was the school. The school was still open at night, you see, and you get dozens of kids go along, if they were interested at all, because the schoolmasters in those days, they were given a warrant officer rank. There was no instructors, as the instructor branch is now known, and they used to devote their time. If they saw the kids wanted it, you could walk it almost to any class, and whatever sort of instruction you wanted, you could get.
And that would include advanced navigation?
Anything you wanted.
History. Could you learn history and geography?
Yes. Oh, yes.
If you wanted mathematics?
Everything was there, yes.
Did they teach you, actually, in the classes, did they teach you things like the history of the Navy and the background to the present Navy? Did they teach you current affairs,
yes,
in that sense?
Yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. You was kept in touch all the way. And you was made to understand that it was very much, this is your life.
Yes, yes.
Not like Eamon Andrews, but I mean, that's, what by that I mean, you was encouraged to say, well, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. You see, because in later life, we were to learn that every class of ship had its peculiarities. And by the time you left it, you could tell on sight what ship is who and what funny things it could do. And yeah, it was the most interesting, anyway.
Yes, when we just go on to that then, routine in general, Saturday, Sunday, well, what was the differences between the weekend routine and the weekend?
Well, the Saturday was devoted largely to scrape, scrub and everything else, in readiness for the weekend to lay off sort of thing. Sunday was a great preparation for the divisions. Were always carried out by the captain, the senior officer there, who would be full of ceremony, the marine bands playing and inspections and so forth. As I say again, a lot of it was looked upon, well, not by us kids, but afterwards you look upon these things as, we say, a lot of bull. But the old thing was, you met the senior officer present who would make himself known to every boy, everybody. You knew him. You knew his funny ways. And there were some. But the band would be playing, you see, and then that would be followed by church services. In a case like that, of course, they had their various allocations of space for services, larger number being in the Church of England, but the United Borders, they used to call it, all the Presbyterians, Wesleyans or what have you, Salvation Army and so forth, it was all in one heading. But if, of course, they carried their own parsons in there, but in case of ships afterwards, some of them carried the necessary parsons. But religion was always played, or at least it was always made, a point of great respect.
Did the, if you joined the Navy, as you did at that time, would the padre send for you, or would he interview you at some time,
yes,
in the course of it?
Yes.
What sort of things would he ask you or say to you?
Well, it's largely to find out your background. You see, and is there any peculiar thing you want, such as the Church of England, you see, have you been confirmed, or they provide a Bible, a prayer book and all that sort of thing, if they were wanted. But a Bible was an essential. Every kid got one. And the parson was quite a big figure, because, I mean, he had his own office, his own whereabouts, and they used to hold a very healthy interest in the religious instruction.
And apart from that on Sunday, and on Saturday, a big special clean-up, when did you finish on Saturday? Would you
12 o'clock.
And that meant?
After that, you was free.
Could you go ashore?
Yes.
Any time after that?
If you had the money. Mm-hmm. Sure. But when you realise that at that time of day, you got sixpence a week to start with. And then, of course, if you migrated through the classes, to say the advanced class, you got a shilling. Mm. Well, you didn't call King George your uncle.
But most boys would stay, in fact, on the barracks.
Largely, yes.
Because I can't think whether it was here or not, we said that some local people would make friends with the boys or take them out for suppers or, you know, weekends like that, take them home. This wasn't a regular thing.
It wasn't encouraged at all.
No, this wasn't.
But it wasn't encouraged, you see, Shotley was in a country area, and the people who lived local largely depended on the existence of Shotley for their own livelihood.
Yes.
They weren't in the position to do that. I mean, this tea party business was all right in afterlife. Afterwards, we came across all sorts of stuff all over the world, but no, not there.
Not there. And on Sundays and Saturdays, well, Sundays really, would the meals change? Lunches would be
oh
different?
Yes. Well, they'd be something, you know, a little better.
A little better.
Than you, they you were got, before. You got a little fresh fruit and all that sort of thing would be provided.
Sometimes a pastry cake or
invariably tea. For tea and all that. Oh yes, yes. Mm. And a slab cake was another thing I used to go in for quite a lot.
Can we just talk about the routine, go on from there, and punishments? I mean, how did they? What sort of things would
Well, possibly? for the minor offences, you see, one thing they were very, very strict on was smoking.
Yes.
Smoking was definitely not allowed until he was 18. But, of course, every boy who wanted to did. Personally, it didn't touch me at all, because I never smoked at all until I was 21. And I packed up altogether 45 years ago. But anyway, I mean, it had no inducement as far as I was concerned, but you'd always get the boy who did want to smoke. And they'd go, well, of course, cigarettes in those days were a penny for five, the old wild woodbine. And you might get two or three kids bunch themselves together and get a packet of woodbines, and they'd nip around the corner and have a smoke. Well, if they were coloured, it was six of the best for smoking. Disobedience of orders, you see. And, I won't tell you about the other one I saw when I went to sea, but anyway.
What was the other one?
The one ship I was in, there was a boy, he'd had about three dots of cane for smoking. He was an incessant smoker. And one of the instructors was quite a little short man, I can see him now. He saw this kid smoking one day, he said, "Come here. Want you." And of course the older sailors of those days used to smoke clay pipes, and the tobacco they smoked was what they used to make up from leaf, you see, and of course that was real strong stuff. And they got one of these old clay pipes, and it was being used so much, you know, the tar used to soak through the clay and it'd be black. They set this kid down, light that pipe, filled this pipe with real Navy tobacco. He did. He hadn't got very far with it. He was as sick as a dog. Yeah, blimey, that cured him. I met him years afterwards. And I said, "He started smoking again." "Oh, blimey," so I never forgot it. Well, he said, "That killed me." It did.
But the other...
As regards the... the ordinary corporal punishment, I mean, if there was a flagrant disobedience of orders, or if there was reluctance even to carry out an order, unless there was a very good specific reason for it, there would be possibly three cuts, it might be six.
The officer was always present when this was happening.
Oh, yes,
you said. And it was in the gymnasium, the vaulting horse.
Well, that would be in a shore establishment, yes, but any ship it would be of similar... pattern, yeah.
Was it a public thing?
Oh, yeah.
The boys had to be assembled to...
Not necessarily. Anybody was there.
Oh, I see.
If it was somebody the boys didn't like, they'd all join in. But, no, by and large, I say there was no circus made of it. It was... the boys knew that if they transgressed and were caught, that was that.
Yeah.
There was no hard feelings about it at all.
Was it the little cane that they used, or was it the rubber
No. It was about a 4 foot cane.
4 foot cane.
It was about that, you know, about so big. You get a decent swing.
But, quite painful, actually.
Oh, yes.
You didn't get it yourself, you would know.
No. Yeah. No, but then, I mean, that used to fly right through the officers, you know, as midshipmen. Oh, yes, the sub-lieutenant in the charge of the gun room, he'd award it.
Yes, you told me, actually, an interesting story about the midshipman who tried to use a knife and gun cotton. He got it that day. Would you like to tell me that one, just for the record, actually?
Well, that was in the Royal Sovereign. Yes, there's...
That was 1924, in fact, this was
24, happening. This was.
As late as that?
Went back, yes. Well, of course, I mean, the Navy didn't alter its ways. We say the First War came, and naturally many were lost. But the Navy still remained as such. And in 23, when the Geddes Axe fell, they reduced the numbers drastically, you know, and they also reduced the rate of pay. Mm. But in that particular instance, you see, there was a case there where this particular midshipman was inclined to disregard rules and everything else. He was a clever boy. His father, at that time, was captain of another ship. Mm. Well, both the father and the chap himself, they've been dead many years now, but anyway, this particular instance, you see, I had a class of midshipmen under instruction, and I got them that day on explosives, and I'd stress the point. It came stand easy in the forenoon, you see, that break for about a quarter of an hour at 10:30, and with gun cotton you could do quite a lot of things with it. And I'd stress the point that under no circumstances ever use a knife. They had a thing they used to supply with gun cotton. It was a sharpened piece of wood, if you like. A wooden knife, put it that way. And this was made of a very hard wood. And that could be used for just slicing up. It's like cakes of Blanco to look at. Anyway, stand easy came and went, and unknown to me, the officer who was in charge of my department had seen this midshipman go along. And when I went back, I happened to see this slab of gun cotton. And I said to this chap, I said, what have you been doing here? Have you been messing about with this? And the voice spoke, come here, you. Called his name. He said, I heard what your instructor said. He said, and your instructor carries my authority. When he says so, it is so. You was told not to use a knife. He said, I saw you. Go and fetch the sub-lieutenant. Of course, away goes this kid. And I didn't know then. Anyway, he disappeared for about 20 minutes and he came back, his face like a beetroot. Came straight to me, apologised for being late. So I said, what happened? Oh, he said, I'm afraid I was a bloody little fool. I said, oh, what was you doing? Well, he said, I thought I cut a bit of gun cotton. I said, what did you get? He said, six of the best. He said, I don't want to sit down, thank you. But anyway, as I say, it's just one of those things. You see, the discipline was maintained in there, although I was their instructor then. I had exactly the same authority as the officer in charge.
Yes. And just to go back to the training, your own training again, there were other punishments you might be sent to, you know, lose your free time or your...
Oh, yes, you could have leave stops. You see, and you could have any privileges you'd be lost.
Such as, I mean, what sort of things could you lose, and what sort of things were you made to do?
Well, I mean, if there was, just supposing somebody, well, we say loss of time in the dog watches, you see. The dog watches, of course, we know is from 4 to 6, 6 to 8. Well, during that time, they might be, in a bigger ship, they'd have a cinema or something of that nature. Well, you get so many hours, we might say about 4 days work and the dog watches, you see. And they have to report to the duty officer or petty officer who was then in charge, and you'd find them a job, which would take them right away from any possibility of recreation or enjoyment. Usually some job that nobody liked, you know.
I've heard it said in some cases of